7 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. Tausch live from Squat Fest, but he is doing no squatting per se. Before we get to Made and Believe, which was another great UW-related event, which was last night.
Heard nothing. I'll tell you this. It's always awesome to hear, and I know our team, both at ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee, put a ton of time and effort into this, but nothing but great reviews from people that have been there. Said it was just a first-class event, which I know we expect, but great time had by all. Benny and the whole crew sounds like entertained and was just a beautiful night up at the Orpheum. So kudos to our teams that were able to execute that.
They did work their tails off. There's no doubt. It was a big production, and I have heard nothing but positive reviews as well. We'll hear more about that, hopefully. But we want to get to something else. And that is, Tausch, you sent this to me, and you're a big fan of Ken Ingles, the cap guy, the Packers cap guy.
He does a good job, yep.
On Twitter. And here's what he wrote. There is a world where three of the Packers' top offensive linemen won't be on the field to start training camp. Second-round pick Anthony Belton remains unsigned. Elton Jenkins could continue his contract dispute in a holdout hold-in. And don't rule out Zach Tom not practicing without a new deal. Now, this is obviously Ken's opinion. And I will say that when we talked to Zach Tom at the minicamp, I would say that he was authentically guarded about what his next move could be. He certainly did not paint himself into any sort of a corner on coming or not coming to camp, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have concerns about this? That not one, not two, but three of these guys could be not on the field on July 23rd?
I don't know what's holding up the Belton deal. But as far as Zach Tom and Elton Jenkins, they're going to be at camp. Whether or not they're going to practice or not remains to be seen. That's why the whole Zach Tom competition thing was so interesting. And I don't know, and I kept asking, why? Why did they have that group go out there when we all know that if Zach Tom is healthy and under contract, he's going to be your right tackle when the Detroit Lions come into town? And I don't know if this was part of the process, if they are anticipating Zach Tom not playing until he gets the contract that he wants. Because obviously last season and then how the Packers operated this offseason was very telling that they wanted to get better up front. That was their number. It seems as if you go by what they spent and how they approached it, that was top priority. And then receiver is right after that. So now, if you don't have your starting right tackle and your starting center for a big chunk of camp, I would say there would be a high level of concern. So that's why I just don't anticipate the Elton Jenkins thing being a thing. He's being paid a good, especially at center, a good market rate for his contract. He wants guarantees. It makes a ton of sense to redo a deal and figure that out. And the Packers still having an out after 2 years, as we talked about yesterday with Bulaga, or 2 days ago. The Zach Tom thing could get interesting because there was a report, and I don't know if this report was accurate or not, but it would make sense to me, so that's why I'll bring it up, that he wants $25 million a year. And I know fans are like, that's crazy. It's not crazy. The best right tackles in the league and some in the NFC are both making more than that. So he is going to continue to try and get the highest number he can. The Packers are going to have to pay that. And they're going to either pick and choose, or they're going to do it now and have somebody bought in or not. That's going to be the question mark that they're, and if they believe in Zach. So I don't know how ugly that could get, but both of these scenarios, if they're not addressed and handled, could get messy. And when you're looking at a group of five and two of them are going to be big-time question marks, all of a sudden concern levels can get high. And I think it's only June 27th, so there's time. I just don't see this getting to that point. But if it gets to be July 27th and we're sitting here and neither of those two guys are practicing, it's going to be – you think it's been red here today. It will be red lights flashing everywhere from a concern level up in Green Bay.
Okay, so let's go one by one here. Look, there's been a few second-round picks that it has taken a little while longer to get deals done. I think part of the factor there is that I think agents are trying – to get second-round picks contracts guaranteed fully for all 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where maybe the debate has gone on. I don't know that about Belton specifically, but that makes a lot of sense that that's what a holdup would be.
Okay.
So he's a draft pick. He's in a different category. Okay. Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom both have something in common. They are both under contract. So if they were to not participate via a hold-in where they report but then do the Rodney Dangerfield Caddyshack, oh, my arm, and aren't available, that would be huge.
Well, they're going to report. They're not paying fines.
Correct. So they'll report. Mm-hmm. Oh, and again, the if was not if they report but if they participate, right? Because if they... if they have a toe or a hammy or whatever it is. Look, Jordan Love basically did that last year.
Not basically. That is what he did. He just didn't practice.
Correct. So it's not unprecedented, obviously.
And he's by the way, again, man, you guys all know I am always biased pro player. And yep. That's just how
Me
I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of those guys should.
So that was you literally took the question out of my mouth. Because if Elgton Jenkins calls and says, hey, good job by Wilde getting the word out that I wasn't happy with my contract, even though people accused him of lying and it turned out he was exactly right, now I need Tausch's advice. What should I do? You're telling Elgton to report but don't participate until they address his contract?
I would look at it this way from Elton's standpoint. I understand what he wants. I don't know. Pull up his spot track while I'm talking, Jason, to see what he's making this year. Because
I know Elgton, it off the top of my head.
For Elgton, it's a little different because he is now at the point in his contract where it's big boy base salary, if my memory serves me. Not
his
big
base,
boy.
So, his base salary is $11.7 million.
Okay.
There's obviously the proration of his signing bonus. He forfeited a workout bonus. He's got in game-by-game roster bonuses. His cap hit for this season is $17.6 million. Next year, his base is $18.5 million, and his cap hit is $24.8 million. So again, I want people to understand, and I'm sure Ken described this as well.
So Jason, if Elgton plays 17 weeks and hits all of his in-game roster bonuses, what is he making this year?
Is making $12.3 million.
And I'm going to tell you this. The Green Bay Packers will be more than happy paying Elgton Jenkins $12.3 million this year and then having the opportunity to redo his deal next year or say goodnight. That's what the Packers want.
That's why they haven't done this.
Correct. The Packers think 12.3 for a starting center is fair market wage. And
it's less than Creed Humphrey.
Yeah,
he got
but
a
Elton's never played
dollar
center.
Deal. I understand.
It's low for a guard, and Elton's played a little bit below market the last few years, and that's, again, why you want to sign guys early from the Packers' standpoint. Give them their guarantees. They identified him just like they're going to do with Zach Tom. Because if they wait on Zach Tom, he will get bonko dollars, especially if he has a really good season. So from Elton's standpoint, I don't know how hardball you can get because there does come a point where you could say my hammy's hurting and I'm reporting in. and I think the Packers will work with you a little bit, but when it gets to be 2 weeks before the season and there's just no common ground, the Packers are going to say, all right, we're going to start finding you. And then it can get contentious, and I don't think it will get to that point.
Can I ask you the flip side of that? Because this was the debate that I had with Homer. The guy's a three-time Pro Bowler. Your general manager publicly said when announcing that they were moving him to center that the team believes he can be an all-pro center. He is not asking for a lucrative four-year extension. You can still rejigger his contract, and still, if you should decide, after he celebrates his 30th birthday, I think the day after Christmas, if you don't want to keep him, fine, but you're supposed to pay him $11.7 million in base salary anyway, which will become guaranteed in the first week, right? That's how it works for vested veterans. Why don't you say, look, we're going to convert most of your base salary to a signing bonus. We're going to add some dummy years to your contract. That way we can still get out of it if we want to go our separate ways. We'll give you a little bit extra, you know, for the effort. But you're crucial to what we do, and you have been a great teammate and a leader in that room. We don't want to fight about this. It's not about winning the negotiation. We're already set to pay you $12 million. Let's guarantee that. Why not? Tell me. I understand that I'm a feelings guy, not a finance guy. But if this guy's as good as you think he is, and you have predicated your entire offensive line reshuffle on moving him to center, you have to pay him this money anyway if he's on the roster week one. Why not just do that and be done with it? What am I missing here?
Business, because that's not the – that's there's.
But he's not asking for new money, and that's the
know.
Part I don't
I mean,
get.
I don't no, think I, any
– No, I do know.
Okay, what do you know?
He's not asking for new money.
What is he asking for?
He's asking for some of the existing money on his contract to be guaranteed.
Okay.
Now, I think he would like – and this is where the business negotiation would come in – I think he would like guarantees that would make him on this team for this year and next year.
Mm-hmm. And the Packers have done that in the past, but they are being more and more selective with 30-year-old pluses to do it. And
right.
by the way,
he's not 30 yet.
By the way, rightfully so, in my opinion. So it's easy to sit here and spend other people's money. It's very easy. The Packers would like for Elgton Jenkins, I'm sure, just to come in and play. Elgton should be doing what he's doing. There is going to become a time where it's the rubber's going to hit the road one
yes.
way or the other. And I don't know how much – if they want to just guarantee this year at the 12.3, is Elgton going to take that? No, because Elton's pretty sure he's going to make that 12.3 this year as the starter. And
then
if
he does, he's going.
Well, no, if he gets hurt, which is what players are fearful of.
Right, in camp.
No, the money is good. You're getting that money. If he gets hurt and it's a season ender, he's getting paid. But then he's not getting paid next year. And that is what he's looking for, is a little more security. And I don't know how willing the Green Bay Packers will be. I think they should be. I am in your camp. I'm saying why they're not doing it is because they don't have to. And they're not going to do just what makes everybody feel good. You make everybody feel good, there'll be a lot of old veterans still running around trying to score touchdowns. And it just that. But that's not the reality of the NFL. You got to stay young. And at some point, it doesn't make sense. If Elgton wants 2 years of guarantees and the Packers think they have their next center, which this is the part I don't get. They don't – unless Jacob Monk is all of a sudden a lot better than what we saw, they don't have the next guy. And Elgton, you know what you're getting. So the Zach Tom scenario is a lot more interesting to me than this.
I agree.
I think this gets rectified. The Zach Tom piece – if he's not going to play, that negotiation is not going to be as easy. That will be a lot trickier and a lot more expensive than what the Elgton Jenkins.
Okay, so Zach Tom calls you and asks what he should do. What are you telling him? And how long do you push it if you're him?
That's where this whole thing with what – it's like they were playing chess with this competition bit and getting, you know, getting everybody to think that Belton or somebody else could take it. I saw through that. That's just not happening. I know how they feel about Zach. But do they feel enough to pay him top right tackle money in the league? I don't know about that. And that's where this is going to get sticky, because Zach, I think in his mind, deserves it. He thinks, I'm only going to get better. I played last year not healthy, and I still gave you everything I had. How do we go about getting to where you're going to have to pay? And Green Bay does 2 years of guarantees, is what we've went again through this with Russ.
Yep, clearly.
You're looking
sir.
At 50-some-odd million in guarantees to Zach Tom when you could have him this year for, what, $4 or $5 million, and you could wait and see. You're going to have to give a pretty good discount in order for Zach to sign something, or in order for the Packers to feel good about it. What's going to be that degree of sacrifice on both sides? And is Zach Tom willing to say, I will be here, but I'm not doing anything until it happens? I said it was going to be really tough for Jordan Love, and I'm guessing it was for him to sit and watch while his team negotiated for the first 2 or 3 days of training camp last year. A lot harder. It can be a lot harder for somebody that maybe it's a tough spot, and I am really interested to see how it shakes out. But from Zach Tom's standpoint, you'd say, I don't know what the right answer is for you. I don't know the right answer, because if you want to make Penei Sewell money, you got to play it out. You're going to have to play it out. And with that comes great risk, but it also comes, is it worth it if they offer you 23 a year and you want to get 28 or 29? You would think, take the 23.
Yeah.
I that's what the easy thing to do, but if you want to do it and you feel it, you want to bet on yourself. And I think that is, in essence, what I think. If the Packers and him and his team can't come to it, I could see him betting on himself, and then you get franchise tag, and that's where it gets real ugly. So that contract and that negotiation and how Zach approaches training camp, to me, is going to be top of the line interest on that opening day when we go up there for Dream Drive.
Yeah, Zach Tom, for those of you who are curious, remember he was a fourth round pick. So he didn't have like first round draft pick money already.
And $23 million hits a lot harder for him than if somebody that's got 10 or 15 in the bank already as a first round.
His original contract was 4 years, $4.2 million. He got $504,000 guaranteed. Okay. Now, he did hit the proven performance escalator, so his base salary for this year is $3.4 million. Mm-hmm. I am here to tell you that Zach Tom, at right tackle this season, at $3.4 million, is one hell of a bargain.
You telling him not to play?
Well, first of all, I would tell them if they came to me with 23 average, give me a pen, right?
Okay.
Because I do not have that kind of...
Are you telling Zach Tom on the 23rd of July, show up and don't do anything?
Yeah, look, I am risk averse. The guy just went through a year where he played through a torn pec. He has seen David Bakhtiari tear an AC... Well, I mean, he wasn't here yet, but... David Bakhtiari battled through knee problems after tearing an ACL in practice. He has seen Elgton Jenkins battle back from a torn ACL.
All right, so I think we can both agree Zach Tom should not take a meaningful snap until his contract is adjusted for this season.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Tausch will have more from Squat Fest next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. I'm not afraid of getting old, and I will stay from dying young. I see the light go past my shoulder, and I will stay from dying young, and I'm not afraid.
Wilde and Tausch continues live with Tausch on the UW campus at Squat Fest. And fewer red flashing lights and more high-intensity white lights. And it looks like Tausch has a few friends who have joined.
I've got a couple of the leaders of this defense. The defense just finished up their squat fest. Ricardo Hallman, Christian Allegro join Wilde and Tausch from Squat Fest. Fellas, how was it?
It was electric. It was absolutely electric. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The boys were amped up in there. Set a few squat records for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Rico?
Yeah, Rico? Nah, this is definitely, boy, this is my third Squat Fest, and this is definitely by far the most fun one. It was electric, atmosphere was good, and guys were getting out there all the whole time.
So when you said made it electric, besides setting new records, this is just something you guys really look forward to, and obviously Brady Collins, the strength coach, sets it up where this is an intense operation, and this is more than just coming in and getting a lift. It's also about the bonding and being able to fight through. Why is this so important to this program?
Because it's kind of we kind of treat it as like a celebration. You know, it's the first phase. We just finished the first phase of the summer, and, you know, it's kind of to celebrate all the hard work we put into the summer so far with the guys. And, you know, when we go out here, yeah, it's hard, it's intense, but we also enjoy doing it as well with our boys.
Ricardo? Yeah, definitely. I feel like this is the Badger football Mifflin. Like, it kind of compares to that. I mean, did we wait all summer for it? And I think this is a great send-off and a great celebration to get all the guys ramped up and have fun.
Tausch, as someone who loves a good analogy, I would hope that you would high-five Ricardo, given your love for those analogies, because that was phenomenal.
Yeah, no, Ricardo, I've gotten to know Ricardo, and I just was asking because last year, I don't know if you joined last year, but we did another fun little hit. And a lot of your guys left, kind of your crew. But he's just kind of talking about the new guys and how excited you are about, you know, not that it's going to be that much more fun because you miss your guys, but it's a new era and kind of a new time here at Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You always hate to see the guys, especially that you get close to, leave and go their separate ways. But at the end of the day, you kind of look at it, and that's what college football is turning into, kind of a revolving door. So it's always cool to get new guys and get new guys acclimated and help them become part of the brotherhood and the culture that we have here. And then I think all the guys have done a really good job, and I can't wait to share the field with these guys.
All right, so Christian, when you flip the tape on, and I know last year was last year, and you watched the last three or four games, I'm sure you look at it and like, we got to be a lot better. I guess tell us a little bit about, I don't want to get into the past, but what's going to be different about this year's group?
I think we got a lot heavier up front, our D-line.
There is no doubt watching squad, just the bodies coming. It is definitely a thicker up front group than what we saw last year.
I mean, we had Perkins like squatting like 600-something, so yeah, we got a
What kind of athlete is this guy? I watched him at practice,
freak.
And you're amazed at it, because he – there's some guys that are like, man, they're big. And then you see and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, he's a big body. He's also, like, ridiculously athletic, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he can run
fast.
Can
he dunk?
He might be able to.
I don't know.
But, yeah, we got a lot of good guys coming in. Mason Rieger as well. Just an absolute stud. Like, dude's good at everything, literally. So, and he's been hurt the past few years. So, I'm excited to see him on the field for sure. And just, I think, like, in the past 3 years I've been here, I think our defense itself is bonding really well together. Probably the most since I've been here. I don't know. Rico can attest to that.
Yeah, definitely.
It's been great so far.
What is that bond? What's forming that?
I think this past offseason, we had a big emphasis on just kind of bonding with our teammates. You know, so every time we're out on the weekends, we had to send pictures to our coaches of us together, which kind of forces us.
What are the things? What are we doing? What's fun? What are we doing bonding-wise? Golf?
Golf is a big one.
Okay.
This summer, a lot of guys like to go to the lake, stuff like that. Just random stuff, just hanging out with each other. So I think that's a big thing that we haven't done as well in the past, is just hanging out with each other, getting to know each other, especially new guys. And I think that'll take us to, you know, the next step this year.
Anthony's birthday party.
Vinny Anthony's birthday tonight. Yep. Ricardo, before I throw it over to Jason, you came back another year, and I'm sure part of it was that, you know, a little bitter taste in your mouth from how the season finished. But what made it important for you to come back?
I knew – out of all the places, this is the place I wanted to be. And, even from my freshman year, we had never been as successful as I wanted to be here. And we never, in my opinion, set the standards right and how Badger football should be. So, you know, that left a bittersweet taste in my mouth. And I really, really want to get back to that Badger football dominance and what you fans are used to seeing. So I think that was really important, a point of emphasis for us this offseason, a point of emphasis for me coming back, I think, to set the standards straight and do it here.
All right, Christian, last one for me. what is different about this offense? Because the defense, you know, you mentioned bigger bodies up front, stopping the run. That's obviously got to be the focal point. Mm-hmm. But when you're going against this offense, you went against it in spring, and now you're getting to know the guys. Mm-hmm. What is going to be different?
They're running. So first of all, they're doing a lot of under center stuff. We got a lot of fullback. We're kind of going back to the old Wisconsin in a way. A lot of motions, like kind of like a Penn State type offense with all the different type of motions they had. Just we're doing a lot of that under center. So like this past spring ball, you know, I think helped us as a defense a lot because they were running all these different formations, motioning different receivers everywhere, which helps us a lot when you know we go against those teams like Penn State or you know Ohio State, like guys like that. So I would say that's the biggest thing is them just being able to use a bunch of different pieces, motion them around and stuff like that. So, yeah.
All right, guys, I know you want to get out of there, but I got one question for each of you. First of all, Ricardo, I'm looking at this stat here. You played 319 coverage snaps, according to Pro Football Focus. You were targeted only 33 times. That tells me that you got a pretty good rep. But we all know you're a stud, but you also want to be involved more. Are there ways without chasing plays for you to have – I mean, you were an All-American 2 years ago. How do you get more opportunities when you play a position where everyone's scared to throw at you?
I mean, it's just kind of what our defensive coaches kind of preach to us, just the emphasis on effort and attitude and, you know, running and making effort plays, like forcing fumbles or, you know, being a guy to be a punch out or just gathering around, just trying to be one of the first people to the ball. I know as a corner, it's easy for people to game plan and, you know, throw away from you, but I can't let that be an excuse. I got to try to put myself in the best position to make plays regardless.
And Christian, you know, as a guy that is one of the up and coming guys on this defense, right? You got more opportunities last year than you did in 23. How can you put your signature on this defense? This team obviously lost some pretty high profile guys on that side of the ball. What kind of a role are you envisioning for yourself, and how much do you feel you have to step up and be a leader for this group?
I think the role I've really been working on is becoming more of a vocal leader on defense, kind of like, you know, the vocal type of leader we had last year, like Jake Chaney or you know, guys like that. I think that's the biggest step I'm taking. I think this past spring ball, I kind of took a big step with that. So, you know, even when we're in the weight room or something like that, I'm just trying to talk more, get the guys going, you know, become that more vocal leader because I feel like I can lead by example, but I just want to take the next step of being that vocal leader and, you know, leading the guys.
Is that hard? Has that been difficult for you? Or is
it's kind of out of my comfort zone, but, you know, it's something new for me. So
squatting 600 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. So the more I work on it, you know, the better I've gotten at it. And, you know, I really enjoy it as well. So it's not something like I don't like doing.
And you guys, defense and offense were separate for this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So did you guys see the toga-style shirts that Billy Edwards created?
Yeah,
and what
yeah.
were your fashion opinions on that?
I'm not really sure. A bunch of guys do a bunch of crazy stuff, like tank tops, cutting everything. But
a lot of shoulder.
Yeah, me and Rico kept it simple today.
Yeah, honestly. I didn't even see Billy's.
We'll send you a picture. It was different, that's for sure. Fellas, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Tausch, I know you've had a lot of guys join you, and I see that Ricardo has taken his headphones off, so I can say this. He's big time, man. Oh, he does still have them on. Dang it.
No, he heard you were going to compliment him, so
yeah.
Put him back on.
He's big time. Like, as a guy who covers the NFL, we know how good he can be. When you look at this defense with these guys and everybody else, how excited are you, Tausch, about what this group could be this year?
Well, I just think, and you know, Christian mentioned it, there was when you watch the Iowa-Nebraska game, guys got moved around a little too much. And, you know, when you're playing linebacker, you want to be able to react and not have guys back up on you. Thanks, guys. That's, I think, the biggest thing. So that is where I think you're looking at this defense, understanding it, and that's where they have to get a lot better. So it's great to hear that. And now, again, this stuff is all great. As the birthday boy Brad Childress always used to say, this gives you a chance to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have to go out there and do it. And until you go and do it, it's just words, you know.
More from Squad Fest as we roll on. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
official title is Director of Football Strength and Conditioning.
Sounds right.
But I like to think of Brady Collins as the godfather of Squat Fest. What do you think?
I don't think there's a Squat Fest if he's not here. Yeah, so that's, I think that's probably fair.
Pretty true.
Brady, what's up, man? It's always great when we catch up with you. How do you assess Squat Fest 2025?
It was everything we expected and then some. You know, these guys have been grinding 6 weeks straight, you know, 4 to 5 days a week. And like I told him at the end there, I said, just because the lights are here and, you know, there's all this media and all that, it doesn't change the daily investment grind that these guys have been doing. Just really proud of, you know, my staff and these guys, you know, the amount that we, you know, support and our hearts that we pour into them every single day. And you can just really see the boys, that locker room getting even tighter and tighter. And it was a fantastic day.
Brady, so why is this important? Because this has been something that has been highlighted. And the players keep, the ones that we've spoken to, talking about celebration. It's hard work, but you want to celebrate it. I'm assuming what you just said, working through things and the bonding. But why is this important to this program?
I think it's just because, you know, we ask so much of these kids, and we do. Look, everybody tries to reinvent the wheel and think they're the best, you know, at training. And like I tell guys all the time, everybody's squatting, everybody's running, everybody's benching, all that stuff. It's not what we do. It's why we do it, who we do it with. And, you know, you want to give back to them. You want to have something to look forward to that's a big hurrah. Because, like I said, every day we're getting after it. I mean, we're taxing them. We're pushing the limits. We're holding them accountable. And they're doing the same. And, you know, yeah, from the outside, a lot of people could be like, oh, why are they doing that? That's fine. You're not an 18 to 22-year-old kid who's poured their hearts in every single day. And we want to celebrate. We want to have fun. We want to make it an experience that, you know, 20 years from now they're talking with the boys like, do you remember that 1 year when Coach B had that Squat Fest? We did this, we did that. And, you know, this was probably the most unique one ever, just because it was different than anyone we've ever done. We added a station. Each station had a finisher and then a finisher at the end, and it was awesome.
Yeah, a lot of energy again, like we always get at Squat Fest. When you're looking, we always like to get this because a new guy, there's so much newness, right, with all the portals and the freshmen. Who are some people that you think are going to really pop, whether it's with some great speed gains that they've had or strength? Who are some players that maybe played some last year or new that you're really excited to see this all transferring out to the field?
Yeah, and again, that's really all that matters. You know, yeah. I tell the kids all the time, hey, heavy squats and benches and deadlifts, those are great, and we do. We love those. We're meatheads. I care more about how well you play football, and that's why the way we train is to make you better at football. But, I mean, I could be biased and just everybody, but there's a lot of guys. I mean, Iacomelli, you know, just an unbelievable dude and, you know, incredible leader and just, you know, loves this place and just the work he's put in. You know, Vinny Anthony, the strides he's made. Jaden Ballard, a new guy coming in. Yes, he's fast, but, you know, the toughness at which he works out now and all those types of things. Billy Edwards is an absolute dog. You know, just a great fiery leader. He's changed his body. He's looking good. He's healthy, rocking and rolling. And then, I mean, all these young guys are just, I mean, impressive. You know, Nick Clayton, Cooper Catalano, putting on, you know, 25 to 34 pounds, both of them, improving their 40s from when they got here in January. Eugene Hilton, you know, just all those guys. Jameer Scott, Kairos, you can keep going with all those young guys. But a guy also I'm really proud of is Riley Malman. You know, big emphasis on him getting, you know, upper body strength up, and he's really improved in that area. You know, new Davis Heinzen coming in, you know, never trained the way we've trained, all that stuff, just done a great job. You know, Jake Renfro's up 10 to 15 pounds more than he was last year, which he had to be, so he doesn't, you know, get worn down near the end of the season. But I could just keep going and going. I mean, Ben Barton, you know, his leadership and just, you know, he's a big, strong human being. C.A., Tackett, all those boys. Rico, Nizer. Austin Brown's a freak. You know, Preston Zach.
Yeah, you literally could keep going and going.
I could.
There's no doubt you are. And you are. Last one for me, because I know we're running out of time. We've got to get you on your little mini break here. But defensive line, and yeah, that was something we were talking with, you know, with Rico. A lot bigger,
yes,
than what we saw last year. That's, yes, something that obviously was emphasized this offseason.
Yes, and not just bigger, but I think just the humble and hungry dudes that, you know, coming in with a chip on their shoulders. Like, you know, I mean, Perk, his personality is so contagious, but his work ethic is the same. And, you know, he holds people accountable, and he wants to be pushed, and he wants to get better. You know, Jalen Suggs, I call him, you know, or JVR, call him old man. You know what I mean? Because, like, he kind of moves a little. And then, like, when he does stuff, he just turns it on, and he's twitchy and he's strong. And then those two edge guys, Corey Walker, an absolute just mature freak of a human being. Michael Garner, 300 pounds, running fast, strong. And so I'm very, very impressed with all those guys.
Well, Brady, we know we got to let you go. I will say, with your hat on backwards and me, I think we look a lot alike if I could toughen up my voice a little
do.
Bit.
Yeah,
couple
you tough,
maybe lift a few
you,
more
you
weights.
Can't pull off Zubaz pants like Coach can, though.
I do. I have a very important question, though, before we go.
Yeah.
And that is, you got your new quarterback, Billy Edwards, who was great with us. We had a great conversation with him. But the toga-style shirt that he created for Squat Fest, I don't know if he was going for Julius Caesar or what, with a lot of shoulder available.
Yeah.
Do you encourage these guys to cut up their T-shirts, or is that just leadership in action?
They always, they know, you know, that they're given that shirt when they get here in the morning, and they can do whatever they want to. We want the guys to have fun, you know, because every day they're wearing the same workout shirt, shorts, everybody looks clean, unified team, all that stuff. But, yeah, I want them to have fun, show their personality. I was even messing with Billy. I'm like, what's this look you got going on? He's like, it's not bad, right? I was going for the toga look. And I said, yeah, your traps
are
pretty good.
He speaks Latin, for God's sake. So what else could you expect?
Doesn't surprise me. He is a Renaissance man.
It seems like it.
So there was no Hulk Hogan tearing the shirt off, or do we just have to wait for social media to show the ripping?
You never know what's going
to
show up on social media.
Yeah.
So it
I
could
think
be.
We did have one rip, one. I think it was Mason Posa. I think he ripped his shirt at the end there, so that was pretty cool.
Brady, you're the best, man. We love it when you let us come to this, and we appreciate your time. Thanks, man.
I appreciate you guys.
Again, his title is Director of Football Strength and Conditioning, but he is the godfather of Squat Fest. He is Brady Collins. We'll wrap things up with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Bucks.
In the landscape of today's NBA.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
Why would you be loyal to an organization? None of your peers are.
Madison's home of the Bucks. 100.5 ESPN. Is it any wonder?
Shame. All right, we've already gone over, but we got to get to Feel Good Friday, especially since I first got to know Jesse when he was working at our Beaver Dam operation. And today is a big day in Beaver Dam. Jesse, take it away.
The 28th John Moser Children's Radiothon for our stations WBEV and ESPN Beaver Dam, raising money for Dodge County Charities. The total is in over just a little over 24 hours. They do this $163,000 plus raised for local Dodge County Charities. That is a massive amount of money raised by that community. It's an honor that we are on in Beaver Dam and in Dodge County for fans there every day. Where I started, like you said, John Moser, the late John Moser, cared so much about this cause and helping and supporting that community. Fantastic stuff. Every year it astounds me how amazing this initiative is.
It really is. All right, we're way late. We got to go. Thanks to UW Football for having Tausch on site for Squat Fest. Thanks to Jesse for that great Feel Good Friday painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. And thanks to you for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.